Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin our study today in John chapter 16. We come before you, Father, and thank you again as we open your word and we search it again and think about the things that are spoken concerning your son. We are thankful that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We open it today and ask you to lead us and guide us. Pray for each of those who are listening that it might be of some encouragement to them that might meet a need in their life today. We pray for your guidance in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 16, we've been studying the upper room ministry and we see the different subjects that the Lord is teaching to his disciples as he is nearing the cross. And here he is in that upper room before he is taken into captivity, before the actual crucifixion, just hours before the cross. Here he is teaching them. And the subject of chapter 16, he says, is a little while. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. We see here that this is because I go to the Father, the Lord said, and as he's preparing to leave this earthly scene, he teaches the disciples the coming of the Spirit of God is in chapter 14. Again, here in chapter 16, he brings it forth. He speaks of the Spirit of God as the Comforter, and of course, the things that accompany his coming, we will be looking at today. Chapter 16, picking up at verse 7, after he had exhorted them not to be sorrowful, told them that because of the persecution that would come upon them from those that hated the Lord, which we also hate his people, he exhorted them as they would have sorrow, that yet he says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So we see here in these verses, the Comforter brings conviction. The Comforter brings conviction. Verse 8, and when he, that's the Spirit of God, has come. Now notice the word he. The Spirit of God is spoken of as a person. As we realize throughout the scripture, different passages, it's abundantly clear that there is one God. Yet we see the three persons of the one Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think of one that comes to mind. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, as we see that that book closing out, Scripture says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. And he closes the book saying, all the saints salute you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So he mentions in his closing exhortation to the Corinthians, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. So we see here the mention of the three persons of the one Godhead together. And you find this many times. We remember there, and so often it is very mind-boggling how this comes about. But yet, we take it by faith, by what the Word of God tells us, such as when Christ, the person of the Son of God, was there in the Jordan River. And as the dove descending, there was the Holy Spirit coming down, and the voice from the Father came from heaven. And yet we see here, the Scripture teaches the one Godhead, and yet we see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So as we see here in verse 8 of our portion in John 16, and when He is come, indicating the person, the reference to the Spirit of God, He didn't say when it is come, but when He is come. He will reprove, that is, convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. And He mentions of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, in verse 9, He starts explaining one at a time. In verse 9, He speaks of the convicting power, of the convicting work of the Spirit of God, as He will reprove the world of sin. This is the first of three. Why is there a need to convict the world of sin? Well, verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on Me. My friend, if you're out there today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God, along with the Word of God, does its work upon unsaved people to draw men and women, boys and girls, to Christ, that they might become a child of God by faith in Christ. The Spirit of God convicts the world of sin because they believe not on Me. The god of this world, that Satan, has blinded the mind of them that do not believe. So this is tied in with the fact that the world is lost in sin. Spirit of God has come to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on Me. As we think of sin, the greatest sin of all is the sin of unbelief. Now, the believer can be disobedient, and the word there for unbelief, if you look it up, you see in the Greek, unbelief means disobedience. Sometimes you look that word up, and we as believers can be guilty of a type of unbelief, meaning that we're ignoring, rejecting the will of God that is before us. Sometimes we as believers need to be brought back into line. The Lord chastens us, disciplines us as His children, and we sometimes are out of tune with Him, and we are displaying unbelief. Think of Moses when it said he did not believe, and it said that he was disobedient as he smote the rock there in the Old Testament, as God told him to speak to the rock. And we see it mentions Moses as one of displaying unbelief. But yet Moses was in the Hall of Fame of Faith. In Hebrews 11, Moses was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord along with Elijah. So we see that Moses was a saved person, but yet he displayed unbelief. What about that man that said to the Lord when there was a sick one in their midst and he was going to heal this one, and this man said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. So we as believers can display unbelief, but in this context, the unbelief spoken of is the unbelief of the world, the lost condition of being an unbeliever, an unsaved person. Here it speaks of how that the world will be reproved, convicted, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will be upon the world because they believe not on Me, the Lord Jesus said. The worst, the worst sin that anyone can and is guilty of is the sin of unbelief. Until a person comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are guilty of the sin of unbelief. This is the worst sin. Now, sometimes people refer to this as the unpardonable sin. Now, the literal unpardonable sin in the Gospels is in connection when Christ was actually here on earth, blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, but yet we see that today you can use that term as as applying to the worst sin today, that which is the only sin that cannot be forgiven, is the sin of unbelief. Until someone is saved, and then that changes in their life, then we see forgiveness. But until a person turns to Christ, they're committing, in application-wise, they're committing unpardonable sin. You cannot have this changed until there's repentance. You are guilty of that which will not change eternally until and if you turn to Christ before it is eternally too late. Once you cross into the realms of eternity and pass that line of death, that sin cannot ever be forgiven for your soul to be with God. The unpardonable sin that we're applying that term to is the sin of unbelief today. We're not looking at that unpardonable sin as Christ spoke of there when he spoke to ones in his very presence, but today we would apply it to the sin of unbelief. So the convicting power of the Spirit of God has come to convict the world of sin. As we consider this, is there one out there today that may need to truly examine their heart and ask themselves before the holy and righteous God of this universe, have I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I gave it to Him, the salvation of my soul? Have I acknowledged that I'm lost, undone, and of no ability to save myself? Surely there may be one listening today that has never put their trust in Christ. It's not how much faith that you have. It is where your faith is directed. Your faith must be directed upon Christ as the total sufficient payment for your sin as He died upon the cross of Calvary. Think of this. Why would the holy, righteous Son of God in eternity past, in the presence of the Father, in glory, leave that scene and come into this sin-sick world and become a man that He might die on the cross? Why would He do such? Why would He love me so, as that old hymn goes? Yet we see that He was willing, able, and did die on the cross for your sin. So the question is, as the Spirit of God is here along the Word of God to convict the world of sin, are you willing to turn to Him and not hold on to that sin of unbelief? This is Mike Moody and Jeff Buckles, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry, saying hello to all those in Randolph County and those who understand in Stoller City that may be listening. And we're glad to have each one of you tune in as we open the Scripture with you each Sunday morning, 10:15 to 10:30. Join us next Sunday, if you will. Thank you, and have a good week.